Thank you very much. I think we learned the Gemara Tel Samach Gimel on the base to the last line. The Gemara spoke about the importance of the mitzvah Piru B'Rivya, that one of the more, if you can divide the mitzvahs into two categories, this is from the mitzvah Rabbah, one of the more important mitzvahs. Then the Gemara continues on the last line, Tan Rabbanan, another braisa, V'nucha Yom Moshiva Hashem Rivivas Alfa Yisrael. The Shekhinah should be sure with the Bnei Yisrael. Rivavois Alfa. Rivava means 10,000. So Rivavois is Miut Rabim Shnaim. It's at least referring to 20,000. And Elif is 1,000. Alfa is plural. So again, Miut Rabim Shnaim. So it's 22,000. So the Pasuk implies, Malame, the Pasuk teaches us, Ein Shekhinah Shura. The Shekhinah will only be Shura on a group. We say called by Asar Shchin to Shari. If you have 10 Jews, so we're saying a Dovish of Bigdushin, there'll be Ashuras Hashchina. If you have 10, if you have 10 Jews learning Torah, also, if you have Asara, Rav Soloveitchik used to use the lashon, 10 Jews reading the Morgenjanal, you're not going to have Ashuras Hashchina. But if you have 10 Jews who are davening, are learning, doing a Dovish of Bigdushin, something, then there'll be Ashuras Hashchina. But somehow this means a greater degree of Hashuas Hashchina, so you have to have a minimum of 22,000 Jews. I think they say that when they made the Balfour Declaration, there were 22,000 Jews living in Eretz Yisrael at the time. Then they say by the time they made Hakamas HaMedina, there were Shishim Riba. There were 600,000 Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. Now there's 7 million. But at that time, that's what some of the Gedolim said at that time. So on that assumption, what if it happens? What if you have 22,000 Jews minus one? You have 21,999 Jews. And this fellow got married and he can have a child. And he's practicing birth control. He doesn't want to have a baby. So he's holding back the Shekhinah from being sure. If you have 22,000 Jews minus one, missing one, this fellow got married, he doesn't want to have any children, that's terrible, isn't it his fault? The Shekhinah will not be sure yet, because you don't have the minimum amount of 22,000. He says over the name of one of the Tanaim, one who doesn't have children, that was mentioned before, one who doesn't have children is really chayv misa b'dei shamayim for not fulfilling this mitzvah. How do you know? Shenemar, when it says that Nadav Avihu, the sons of Aharon, died young, and it says, Ubonim l'hoylehem. So the mashmas is that if they would have had children, they would not have died. So you see that they died because they didn't have children. Pasuk says that they died because he krivu eish zorah l'fnei Hashem, whatever that means. But this was a contributing factor. If they would have had children, so the aver that they did wouldn't have been so chama. But the fact, Bonim l'hoylehem, they didn't. They didn't. They weren't married. They didn't marry. Rashi quotes the Medrash that because they were the children of Aaron and the nephews of Moshe Rabbeinu, they felt that they have the biggest yichus in the world, and no girl was good enough for them, so they didn't get married. So the pasuk condemns that he's supposed to have children. If one is able to, he should have children. Barim lo helahem. The implication is ha'helahem barim lo mesa. They wouldn't have died. Acherim aimerim. Chayim Amrim is a nickname for some of the Tanaim. Gorim l'shchina shetisal k'meso. If you don't have children, so on principle, then there won't be any hashvas hashchina. How do you know? Shenam Lias Hakadosh Baruch Hu made a bris with Avraham Avinu. He said Lias l'chol alikim ulezarcha acharecha. If a person wants to have children, and he has children, and he wants to be mamshich the kedushin so to the next generation, then it's going to be Lias l'chol alikim. There will be a Hashuas HaShchina. As much as Zarech HaCharecha, if you have children, Shchina Shura. If you don't have Zarech HaCharecha, on me Shura, on whom will the Shchina be Shura? We have to have, you have to belong to Klal Yisrael. Yeah, even a Yochid. I don't know what it means. Apparently, there are different degrees of Ashuras HaShechina. Even a Yochid, then if you have three and five, and Asura is more, Kol Be'asura Shechinta Sharia, to a certain extent, and then there are different degrees of Ashuras HaShechina. I don't know what it means, but that's apparently something to do with that. Okay. So the Gemara was speaking about the significance of this mitzvah. So mitzvah rabba, there's a Mishnah and Gittin. One of the many disputes between Beisham and Bisilo, if a person is a chatzi ebed v'chatzi ben chor. So how do you deal with him? So the Mishnah says, he can't marry a bas chor because he's a chatzi ebed. An ebed is not allowed to marry a bas chor. He can't marry a shivcha because he's a chatzi ben chor. And a ben chor is not allowed to marry a shivcha. So he's stuck, he can't marry anybody. He can't marry, and to marry a chetzer shivcha v'ches bas chor is also a nishken eitzah. Because the tzad eved will be living with the tzad bascharin and so on, so he can't marry at all. So Beisilo say tough luck. What can you do? It's your own fault. And Beishamah say no. Kofenes rabba bosos and ben charin. You force the odin to free the eved, and the eved has to pay how much would he be worth, the chatzi eved that he was, and the odin freed him. So how much such an eved sell for on the slave market in the days of the Tanakh? They had the slaves, days of the Baisheni, they had slaves. How much would he sell for? And he's a chatzi eved, and the Yodan frees him, so he has to pay half of his value to the Yodan. If a leaven makes so much money, he'll pay for his freedom. And then the Mishnah says, "V'chaz b'silo harisk d'vei b'shama." After for years there was a dispute between Bishamai and Bishilo, and then after a while, Bishilo agreed, they gave in to the Bishamai, that's the correct way to do. So Tosfos is bothered with Akasha, but there's a din hamashachar abda over be'esay. The Pasuk says, lo'elam ha'am tavoidu. The Pasuk says, if you have an Eved Ivri, so the Eved Ivri is Yotze B'sheish, and is Yotze B'yam Kippur Shol Yovel. Eved K'naini, lo'elam ha'am tavoidu. Eved K'naini doesn't go free, not B'sheish, and not B'yovel. So that pasuk, Le'olam Ha'am Tavoidu, is a machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. How do you learn pshat? So Rabbi Akiva learns choyva, means Hamashachar Avdai is Zoyva Be'asi, it's an Isser. You're not allowed to free an Eved K'naini. An Eved Ivri is Jewish, you can free. Eved K'naini, you're not allowed to free. And Rabbi Shmuel says it's a Rishus, it's not a choyva. Le'olam Ha'am Tavoidu, if you want to, you can keep him. You don't have to let him free after 6 years come, and you don't have to let him free when it comes Yom Kippur Shal Yovel. But if you want to, you may free him. The Gemara says on Dav Gimel in Saita that there are three psukim where there's machlekes Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel, whether it's a reshus or a chayva. So that's one. The other mem tavoidu. The other one is lo yitama. It says in the Chumash that a kohen is not allowed to be mitame lemeisim unless it's one of the seven relatives. So he says if his sister dies and she was never married, achos hapsulah shelohoy salish lo yitama. So Rabbi Shmuel says he may attend the funeral if he so chooses. He's permitted to. And Rabbi Akiva says, Lo yitama zechayva, he's obligated to. The kohen is obligated to attend the funeral of the Zayin Krov. And the third pasuk, the reason why it's a Masecha Soita, because the third pasuk in Parsha Soita says, Avar lav roch kino v'kine es ishtoi, that if the husband suspects his wife of not being faithful to him, so he warns her, Al tistri mish ploini. I think I'm choshed that you're having an affair with ploini. So he says, you should be careful, I don't want you to be yechidus. He doesn't want it to be nisteris with that person. So Rabbi Kiva learns that that's a chayva, it's a mitzvah. If the husband thinks there's something fishing going on with his wife, he should warn her. And Rabbi Shmuel says it's a rishus, it's not a chayva. That's what the Gemara quotes all three together. So Tosfos is bothered by the kasha Tosfos, and Shabbos Daf Gimel, and Gittin, and all the different Bavabas, all the different mesichtas. So Tosfos asks, how can there be shamay, and how can there be silah agree to be shamay? That you have a chatzi eved v'chatz ben chorin, so kofen is rabba, so also ben chorin, but it's an iser. You're not allowed to be mishachar and eved. Do you say chatei b'shul she'iska chavercha? Is that permissible? I should do a little avera. You invest money. So let's say there's a Zionist Congress vote coming up now. So you become a member of the Zionist World Zionist Congress of $7.50. And if you get enough Jews to invest $7.50, everyone's going to get back $100 for every $7.50 that you invest. Because when they have this World Zionist Congress, the more people will vote to join the religious group, the Mizrahi, with all the religion, with Young Israel, with all the religious organizations, So the more money you'll get back for chinuch, Torah chinuch, and Eretz Yisrael all over the world. So money, you always make an investment. You put in $7,500, you get back $100 for Torah and chinuch and mikvahs and yeshivas and so on. In mitzvahs, are you allowed to do such a thing? So sometimes there is a kalachatei, the shul shetiske. In rare cases, we say, we would recommend, it's not the rules and regulations of Eser Dechel Eses, they don't always apply. A case where Eser Dechel Eses, it does not apply, but still is another klal, chatei b'shul shetiske. We allow you, in rare cases, to violate the ends, justifies the means. We say that in order to come out winning at the end with a big mitzvah, so you're allowed to do a little avera now. So you have to calculate what's a little avera and what's a great mitzvah. So the but we only say chatei b'shul shetiske ato. I'll do a little avera in order that I should gain. Do you say chatei b'shul shehizka chaverecha? Is that permissible? So the Gemara says in Shabbos Daf Gimel we don't allow that. Chatei b'shul shehizka chaverecha does make sense. Who says the other? I can control myself. So if I'll do a little avera now, which will enable me to do a lot of tremendous mitzvahs later, so that's a smart investment. But I should do a slight avera to save someone else, that he should do a mitzvah. Who says he's going to do the mitzvah later on? They may decide not to be observant. So it's not a smart investment. You only say chatei b'shul shetiske if it's vadai. If it's a sofik, you don't say chatei b'shul shetiske. So chatei, I should do an avera in order that someone else should be zecher in a mitzvah. Who says he's going to do the mitzvah? We don't control him. So that's Tosis Kasha. How can you koifenes rabba v'osa ben churin? How do you force the odon to free the chatzi ever? But that's chatei b'shul shehizka chaverecha in order to enable the ever to get married. So that's what Tosis says. If you have a mitzvah rabba, that's why the Mishnah quotes Beis Shammai argued out the case with the Bezillo. Beis Shammai said koifenes rabba v'osa ben churin. Why? Because the whole world was created. The Gemara quotes that, the Mishnah in Gittin quotes that pasuk from Yeshayah. The Gemara here quoted it also. There were some shittas before that the mitzvah of Piribiribi is identical with Lato Baro, Lashevis Yitzorah. So that mitzvah of Shevis means you have one child. There were a few different opinions. How many children do you have to have? A son and a daughter? That's how we pasken. Or two sons and two daughters, that was one version of Beis Shammai. Or two sons, that was the Mishnah's version of Beis Shammai. Or one version in the Tosefta of Beis Hillel was one child. You replace yourself with one child. So that's what the Mishnah quotes. So what do they need that pasuk for? Why don't they just quote Peru Revu? The person says, just Peru Revu is a mitzvah like all the mitzvahs. So you wouldn't say chatei b'shul shehizka chaverecha. We wouldn't allow the Yodon to violate the Yisr, to be Meshach or his Eved, in order to enable the Eved to fulfill the mitzvah of Peru Ribi. Who says the Eved's going to want to get married later on? Maybe he won't want to get married. So that's why they quoted the Pasuk, L'tov Baruch, the Shem said that it's a mitzvah rabba. It's more important than most other mitzvahs. If you can divide mitzvahs, it's hard to gauge. If you can divide mitzvahs into different categories, so the Gemara was saying a whole sugi over here that the mitzvah of Piriribia is in the category of the more important mitzvahs. Chazanish has such a discussion also. Let's say a person has the ability to get married and he wants to postpone for later. He has a whole lifetime ahead. What's his rush to get married? He'll get married 5 years later, 10 years later, have children later. So the Chazanish discusses, does that constitute a bitla mitzvah? Or let's say a boy becomes bar mitzvah. So the day that he becomes bar mitzvah, he has to hear Parsha Zachar. He'll hear Parsha Zachar when it comes out door. He'll hear Parsha Zachar. He's bar mitzvah today. It's Shabbat. So what's the rush? He'll wait till next month. He'll hear Parsha Zachar. There's plenty of time. Once a year, every year, some Rishonim hold, Sefer Chinuch suggests, maybe Parsha Zachar is a din d'oraisa once a year, every year. So when the kid becomes bar mitzvah, he doesn't have to do the first thing. He should take out his Sefer Torah and lay in Parsha Zachar. He'll wait till next month, no big rush. So when do you say there is a rush? When do you say the mitzvah should be taken care of at the first available opportunity? When do you say Sebrent Nisht? He has time. So the Chazanish tries to say, based on Mishnayos in the Goyim and other sources in Gemaras, maybe it depends how important the mitzvah is. If it's a more important mitzvah, like Peru Rivia, if it's a more important mitzvah, then you have to try to do it as soon as possible. You shouldn't delay. But if it's from the less important mitzvahs, if you can use such an expression, the normal mitzvah is not the more important mitzvah. The normal mitzvah, not a mitzvah rabbah, So then you got time. Then there's no big rush. Yeah, we should be careful in all the mitzvahs, but still, the Gemara does distinguish that some are mitzvah rabba, some are normal mitzvahs, right? So the Chazanish suggests that maybe when you get to this dinner postponing, maybe it should depend on mitzvah rabba. That's for sure. That's a heder mitzvah to do it bezrizus. But if you don't do it bezrizus, so you don't have the heder. But you yotz in the mitzvah. The Chazanish wants to know maybe it's bitla mitzvah. Let's say the fella waits till he's 40 years old, then he gets married. Not that he's dating girls and nothing works out. On principle, he's in no rush to get married. His father got married at 40. His grandfather got married at 40. He's not interested in getting married before the age of 40. On principle, he's not rushing. So maybe that's a bitla mitzvah. Even if later on he gets married and he has children, maybe that's considered that he was mavatla mitzvah, like bris milo. Let's say a person is already bar mitzvah and he realizes that his parents never arranged for a bris milo. When he was born Jewish, but he never had a bris. So does he have to rush? So the din is that one who doesn't do a bris milo is chayv karis. When is he chayv karis? He has a whole lifetime ahead. He has another 70 years. Another after bar mitzvah, another till Mary has Roshana. That's plenty of time. So that's machlekes, the Rambam and the Ravid. Maybe postponing one day is already chayv karis. Maybe the obligation is to perform the mitzvah milah at the first available opportunity. Mitzvah milah is a mitzvah rabbah. There's karis on it. That's a mitzvah rabbah. So maybe if you postpone the bris milah even a little bit, you had an opportunity to do it the day he was bar mitzvah, and he didn't take care of it, so even though he does take care later, maybe still anish karis. Maybe that's called bitla mitzvah. That's what the Chazanish suggests, that in a mitzvah rabbah, if you don't take care of it at the first available opportunity, that already constitutes a bitla mitzvah. He can't, the fact that he'll fulfill a mitzvah later doesn't take off from the fact that he was mabatla a mitzvah before.
In the Jewish, you're doing a milah shelo bezmana because the child was jaundiced or whatever. So yeah. Then you have to do it at the earliest possible time after the 8th day, if you can.
Yeah. The minig used to be in the days of the Nadi Yehuda that on Erev Pesach we have a patent. We have a whole system. The Rabbi makes a siyum on Erev Pesach and all the firstborn participate. Nobody fasts, but that's a modern thing that you make a siyum. What they do years ago. Years ago, they had bigger Talmid Chachamim than now, but they didn't make a sin. So the meaning was that they always had a bris on Erev Pesach. How can you always have a bris on Erev Pesach? In New York City, there are 100 bris every day, I'm sure. But if the cities in Europe are not so big, how can you always know you're going to have a bris on Erev Pesach? So whenever there was a baby whose bris had to be postponed, they would save the bris for Erev Pesach. So they knew for sure they're going to have a bris on Erev Pesach. So the Nadi Yehuda has a one paragraph tshuva, very unusual. Nadi Yehuda usually has more than one paragraph. He has one paragraph, he says he thinks that this practice is improper. He says, first of all, he's not so sure that that constitutes a Sudas Mitzvah. Maybe it's only a Sudas Mitzvah when it's a Mila Bizmana. If it's a postponed Mila Shaloi Bizmana, just like Mila Shaloi Bizmana, it's not Derech HaShab, it's not Derech HaYontif, means it's a less of a lower level Kima Mitzvah. That maybe the Suda that you have doesn't constitute a Suda's Mitzvah. Maybe it's not a heter for the Bechorim to eat. And then he says, number two, even if yes, he's not so sure that you're permitted to postpone another week or another 2 weeks to have the bris. If you have Mila Bizmana on the Yom HaShmini, so Kol HaYom Kosher LeMila, early in the morning, late in the afternoon, as long as it's before the Shkia, Ella, Shaziz Magdim and the Mitzvahs, it's preferable to eat a Mitzvah to do the bris earlier in the day. But he says, maybe it's a milah shelo bizmana, you don't have all day long. Maybe the din requires you have to do it at the first available opportunity, and you can't even postpone till the afternoon. Can't even postpone till the afternoon. I remember years ago, one of the rabbis in the yeshiva had his wife had a boy. And when it came to Yom HaShmini, the baby was not able to have the bris, they had to postpone a couple of days. And then when the doctor said the baby's okay, they had the bris at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And they just pulled together 10 boys from the yeshiva, and they had the suda at night. But they didn't wait to have the bris later in the day to inform more people. You're supposed to have the bris, and the milah shelo bizmana, have the bris right away. In fact, there's a famous Dvar Avram, has in the first volume of the Jewish Dvar Avram. Dvar Avram was the last Rav in Kovna before the war. he died in the Kovne ghetto from disease. He didn't have a chance to kill him. He died from sickness. Many people died. The Kovne ghetto was so, the conditions were so unsanitary. So he has a famous tshuva. What if the moel has two brisen on the same day? One is a milu bizman and one is a milu shaloi bizman. So the classical poskim in Yerideya, the classical poskim say, which one should he schedule first? So they say, the milu bizman is a mitzvah bishlai musa. Milu shaloi bizman is a mitzvah shaloi bishlai musa. But haray, this is decha Shabbos, that's not. So the classical poskim say, you should arrange, you should schedule, the milu bizman should be done first, the milu shaloi bizman should be done second, because there's a Mishnah in the end of Zvachim, Perakol HaTodir. If you have two mitzvahs to do, so one a Todir v'en a Todir, so Todir Koidim. The one that's more Todir comes first. Mekudesh v'en a Mekudesh, Mekudesh Koidim. You have two mitzvahs to do, one mitzvah is, so to speak, holier than the other. Let's say, Shechting, you have two, the Koidim is in the Beis HaMikdash, and two people come with a Korban, each one comes with his own Korban. One brings a Kachim Kachim, one brings a Kachim Kalim. So which one should you be makir first? Usually it's first come, first serve. But two people come simultaneously, so which one should you be makir first? So the Mishnah says, based on psukim, Mekudesh vein Mekudesh, Mekudesh kodim, the mitzvah that's more important should be done first, should be fulfilled first, and then the mitzvah that's less significant should be done second. So that's what the classical poskim say, you should schedule the milu bizmana first, and then the milu shloi bizmana second. So the Rav Ram has a whole tshuva, he disagrees. He says, no, mila bizmani have all day long. Kol hayom kula kosher lemila, el she zrizmak dimila mitzvahs, that's a hida mitzvah, to do it as early as possible. But by the mila that was postponed, it's a mila shaloi bizmana, it's a mila shaloi bizmana, you mevatel a mitzvah if you wait an extra minute. So schedule the mila shaloi bizmana first. That's his argument. That's what he has a tshuva in the first chelik. In the second chelik, the three chalokim of the Rav Ram. The first two halakim he printed during his lifetime. And the third chelik was printed by Rabbi Arnest from the yeshiva. You remember Arnest? He was in my time. So he published the third volume after the war was over. He put together the third chelik of the Dvar Avram. So in the second chelik of the Dvar Avram, he has response, he has tshuvas responding to all those who disagreed with him, what he wrote, the chiddush in the first chelik, that they all disagreed and they said the classical poskim are more correct. That you should have the milu bizmana first. That's the chazan. They quote from the Chazanish that even though the Dvar Avram had a good argument, but the minhag olam is not like the Dvar Avram. If you have two brisen on the same day, minhag is that you have the milu bizmana first and the milu shaloi bizmana second. But they do accept that from the Nodi Yehuda from the Dvar Avram. You're not allowed to postpone unnecessarily the milu shaloi bizmana. It used to be a common practice in America that people worked every day except for Sunday, so they'd always postpone a bris till Sunday. So, loy meboy amila bizmana, you're not allowed to postpone. That's for sure it's not right, but even amila shaloi bizmana that you had to postpone anyway, it's also not right. You shouldn't, you're not allowed to postpone it further. In fact, in Breuer's, Rabbi Breuer instituted a takana that if you have amila shaloi bizmana, he wouldn't allow you to do it on Sunday. Even though that's when it turned out, that was the first available after, he wouldn't allow it. Because he said, the next thing you know, everybody's going to postpone all the bris until Sunday. So he didn't want that, so he wouldn't permit. I think Katzenstein, Zechana Lebracha, wouldn't do a milu shaloi bizmana on a Sunday. Because Rabbi Breuer gezakt made a takana, he shouldn't allow.
If somebody is over chorus, can he be over chorus again?
On a different Avera, on the same Avera, you mean?
Yeah, that was
the Lama, the 36.
He did it a day later.
Yeah.
And then.
So, according to the Rive, the Ramam says if he dies and he never had a bris mila, then it's chayv koris. Apparently, koris is a punishment after you die also.
Yeah.
And the Rive says no. Every day, if he postpones, he could have done the bris the day he was bar mitzvah. He never had a bris when he was a baby. And he's bar mitzvah, he knows that he doesn't have a bris, and he knows
what
he's obligated.
If your idea is over chorus, what?
He has a punishment, of course. Even though he takes care of the bris a day later, a year later, but since he postponed unnecessarily, so the rabbi holds that he's chayv chorus. He's still chayv chorus. He can't undo the chorus. But you just postpone one day, it's already chayv chorus. Yeah, that's the machlik, is the Ramam and the rabbi. Does it constitute a bitla mitzvah to postpone the mila? If you could have done it yesterday and you do it today, maybe that's already a bitla mitzvah and it can't be undone. You can't undo that, yeah. There's an interesting tshuva, the first tshuva in Chelek Eved Ezra, the Maharam Shik. Maharam Shik was a Talmud of the Chasam Sofer. He has very nice tshuvas. So the first tshuva he has is there's a yeshiva bacher, and he's learning very well, and he can get himself a good shidduch now. But he feels if he'll wait another 5 years, and he'll be even stronger in learning, he'll even get a better shidduch. A better shidduch means in money, and in yichus, and everything, because he'll have a bigger reputation as a bigger tamachach. So he asks the shaila, is it permissible to postpone getting married? The Gemara says, you're permitted to postpone getting married, Lilma Torah. You're permitted to postpone getting married. Here, who is he? Ben Azai. Ben Azai didn't get married at all. But if he's not crazy about learning, he says he can't, it's not for him. Getting married is not for him. So the Rambam says also, a normal person, if he wants to postpone, because the getting married is going to get it in his way. Rechaim Tzarov, he asks about Torah. If he has a oila parnasa, he's going to be married. He has to make a parnasa. How will he have a clear head to learn? So it says in the Gemara, in the Rambam, Shulchanach, you're permitted to postpone getting married in order to learn. Here the fellow is learning well, and if he gets married, he'll learn well, but he feels if he waits a couple of years, he'll even get a better shidduch. Is it permissible to postpone getting married, postpone fulfilling the mitzvah period of year in order to get a better shidduch? So the Maram Shik and the first Tshuva Chelek Eved Ezra, he discusses this based on the opening Mishnah in Yuma. Mishnah in Yuma talks about the din that the Kohen Gadol has to be married on Yom Kippur. All year long it doesn't have to be on Yom Kippur. It says, V'chippa ba'ador bi'ad beisa, he has to say vidui on his own behalf. V'chippa ba'ador means he recites vidui. U'bi'ad beisa, beisa z'lishto, he has to be married with nisuin. The Gemara says, not laferis, and he has to have nisuin. And Tosis there, the Tosis Yishonim on the side of the Beis Amad Aleph on the first Mishnah. And Yuma, Tosis says, Mesupik, maybe it's even Miyake B'Yevit. Maybe it's only Lachatchila, but B'Yevit, if he's single, the Avodah would still be Kosher, Avodah is Yom Kippur. And Tosis says, Mesupik, maybe it's even Miyake B'Yevit. If he's single, maybe the whole Avodah is no good. You got to get yourself a different kind of goal. So the Mishnah has a Machloikas Satanayim. His wife is healthy. The kind Godel is married. His wife is healthy. Does he have to be concerned about the possibility that his wife may die suddenly, mila nowhere? His wife may die on Yom Kippur and he'll be left without a wife. So to marry two wives is also no good. You can't say, let him marry another wife and he'll have two wives. On Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol can't have two wives. That's why Achreinim have a chumra that the Baal Tefillah on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is sort of taking the place of the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur. So if the Baal Tefillah had a het me'er abonim to marry a isha lishtai, to marry a second wife, he's married to two wives. The first wife is not healthy, so the Chachamim will give him a het to marry a second wife. So they say he shouldn't have such a person serve as the Baal Tefillah Yom Neroim, because the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur wouldn't be permitted to do the avodah if he has two wives. So the Mishnah has a whole machlokes hatanoim. One Tana says, Loi chashinu lemisa, what are you going to wear? She's healthy on Erev Yom Kippur. Middle of nowhere, no one's going to drop dead in the next 24 hours. What are you worried about? The other Tana says, no, chashinu lemisa, and he has to have another wife ready to marry him in case the first wife dies in the middle of Yom Kippur. He's going to get married. Usually there's an Issa, you're not allowed to get married on Shabbos Yom Kippur. Ain Bekachin, you're not allowed to get married. The Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur has no choice. If his wife dies, he has to marry the second wife on Yom Kippur and have Nisuin on Yom Kippur also in order to be allowed to do the Avodah. So how do we pass on Halacha? Do you say Chashinu Lemisa or Loi Chashinu Lemisa? So Tosfos says the Psak Halacha is Lizman Merube Chashinu Lemisa, Lizman Muat Loi Chashinu Lemisa. To marry of Yom Kippur to Yom Kippur, she's going to die in the next 24 hours, next 36 hours. She's healthy now. So loy chashin lemisa is zman mu'ud, but zman merube it is chashin lemisa. So what's the definition of zman merube? What's zman mu'ud? So the Mamshik has a whole shtikel Torah. He thinks 30 days is zman merube. So he says the bocher can get a shidduch today, and if he waits another 3-5 years, then he'll get even a better shidduch. Because you're not allowed to wait 3 years. You're not allowed to postpone 3 years because chashin lemisa. There's mamiruba. Not a lot of postpone. Some people, when they get married, they want to practice birth control for the first couple of months. So the Maramshik thinks that that's not right to postpone. If you're able, if they're not healthy, they're not healthy. But if everyone is healthy and everything is normal, so it's not right to postpone having children. It's especially Piribiribi is a mitzvah rabbis. So it could even be that it's a bitla mitzvah, according to the way the Chazon Ish suggests. It could be it's a bitla mitzvah. Even if he marries later and he has children, it could be that that's a bitla mitzvah.
Well,
tefillah
has been kind of cutting good
also,
and if he's not married at all, it's also not good.
Also not right, yeah. That's what they say, that
Baal
tefillah should be married.
Well,
unless,
that he can be,
unless the best one for the job, he has to be a Yerush Shamayim, has to know Ivra, he has to know the Niggun, okay. So if the best one for the job is a single, usually in yeshivas, the Talmidim are all single. So usually in yeshivas, you have a single Bochum, Davin Faranon. But you have different milas. So the voice is one of the less important milas. The Yerush Shamayim and the Ivra is more important. And being married is one of the considerations, yeah?
So according to Adam, whose wife dies on Yom Kippur, you said he would have to get married on Yom Kippur. So how, through what? Kesef should I deal with? They're all
Kesef, yeah. Kesef will give her, doesn't have to have money, he'll give her a ring, like, we all get married. Shavu kesef kekesef. Usually the din is aim to catch him. He not only got married not on Shabbos, not on Yom Tov, but all the year he has no choice in order to be able to continue to do the avodah. You have no choice. You have to get married. Henry Kissinger got married to his shiksa wife on Shabbos. So his father sat shiva, and the mother went to the chasana. Mother went to the wedding. He used to be a member of Breuers. Breuers Gehillah.
Never.
Is
this there because of Kenyan?
You can make Kenyan in Shabbos? Yeah, because there is a Yichdo, like Kenyan, like Mekar and Emker, right? Yeah. Next mission is the famous din. Nasa Isha. V'shal Ima Eser Shani. Years ago, in the days of the Tanaim, they weren't able to figure out if a couple was living together for years and didn't have any children, is the problem with the husband or the problem is with the wife? They didn't, sometimes, there's no problem with either the husband or the wife, just the two of them together can't have children. If each one will marry someone else, they can have. So they had no way of figuring out. So if a person was married for 10 years and he didn't have any children, he's not allowed to leave it like that. He has to either divorce her and marry someone else, or he should marry a second wife. Before the Cherem de Rabbein and Gershom, it was rare, it was unusual that someone would marry two wives. We have Mishnayos earlier, the end of the second parak. They have Dinim in the Mishnah based on the assumption that normal people, Bizman HaTanaim, didn't marry two wives. That was unusual. Even though it's Mutta, one wife was enough for most people. But here, strictly speaking, it's Mutta. So here, if he's married to a wife for 10 years and they don't have any children, so he has to do something about it. Rashi says he should either Yigarshena and marry someone else, or you should marry an additional wife in addition to the first wife, one or the other. Enem ha'shoy li'botel. Yeah. What do you mean, enem ha'shoy li'botel? Means that they're koy for him. They would be koy for him. He can't, most people can't afford two wives. So they would insist, the Bezdin would insist. Tosfos is going to come in the Loshon, and the Gemara is going to be yotzi. Here, the Gemara, right after the Mishnah, the first line after the Mishnah, they quoted Tosefta. Tana Rabbanon says in the Tosefta, Nasa Isha v'shoa ima esu shana v'lo yolda, he's married 10 years, he don't have any children, yoytzi v'yitin ksuba, he should divorce his wife, and he has to pay her ksuba. We'll discuss it. So what do you mean yoytzi? So that's the first Tosefta discussing. Yoytzi means we recommend he should get divorced, or we force him to get divorced and marry another wife. So Tosis thinks that the pshat really should be, that's how the Tosis begins. Yotzi has the mashmas that the Bezna will be koy for him to divorce. It's a risky thing. Here, you take a look, the first wide line in the Tosis. The first Tosis, so the first very wide line, after the last line in the Gemara. So the first very wide line in the Tosis. So they quote a Mishnah in the end of Gittin, Get ha-me'usa b'Yisrael. The Jewish Bezin forced a man to give. Musa means they forced him. Isui. La'asas halaget means to force. So a get ha-musa b'Yisrael kosher. The get is kosher. If it's kedin, if the Bezin was kaif a person to divorce his wife, kedin, there are cases where the Bezin has a right to force him. And sometimes the Beis Din recommends to him. Yosha dictates that she give a wife a get. And sometimes you have no right to divorce him. The wife wants to marry someone else. So she fell out of love with the husband. So in the Mishnah, it doesn't say that you're koifa in such a case. So the din is get hamusa b'Yisrael. If a Jewish person forced a man to give a get, kedin, they have the right to, according to the Mishnah and Ksubis, the get will be kosher. What if it's get hamusa b'Yisrael shaloi kedin? What if Bezin violated the dinim? And they forced a man to give a get to his wife, and it's really not according to the halacha. They shouldn't have. So then the Mishnah says that it's pasal midirabbanan. The get is kosher min haTorah, but it's pasal midirabbanan. Why should it be kosher min haTorah? They had no right to force him. Should be possible. So that's what the Gemara and Cheskes Habatim discusses. Of all places, one would have thought the discussion would be in Gittin. About get Musa should be in Gittin. It's not in Gittin. The discussion is in Cheskes Habatim. The Gemara has in Perek Cheskes Habatim Adin, Tolyuhu Vizavin, Zvina Zvina. Let's say I have a Rembrandt in my home. I'm not a store where I'm selling Rembrandts. I bought a Rembrandt and I like it. I have furniture in my house. I have a beautiful car. I have a beautiful house. Whatever I have. I have some collector's item. And it's not for sale. So if someone comes and he says he'd like to buy the painting from me, I say, I'm not interested in selling it. It's not for sale. What if he threatens to kill me? He holds up a gun and he says, I'm going to shoot you unless you sell me the Rembrandt. So I have no choice. Not mechuyev to mois and nefesh to keep on holding on to the Rembrandt. So he pays me whatever, $5 million for the Rembrandt, pays me the right amount of money. But I didn't really want to sell it. So the Gemara says, Toyub is oven. If it's Toyub, if he holds a gun to my head and he says, you give me that Rembrandt as a matana or I kill you. So I say, I'd be happy to give it to you as a matana. So that's not chal. Toyub if they pressured me, they threatened to kill me unless I give them a matana, that's not chal, because we all know that he didn't really agree. But Toyub is oven. If they paid me a reasonable amount of money, even if they didn't pay me the full amount, but it's fairly reasonable, but I wasn't really interested in selling my house. I wasn't interested in selling the Rembrandt. So then the Gemara says, Toyub is oven, Zvina Zvina. Why? Because sometimes people under pressure, let's say he would be in need of money, then he would sell his Rembrandt. So sometimes under pressure, you sell things that normally are not for sale. So you're also under the pressure, they're threatening to kill him. So he probably did agree to sell it for a reasonable price. So the Gemara says, based on that, tell you, vizavin, if they pressure a person to do something, and he agrees under duress, if people do make decisions under duress, if they're reasonable, we say that that decision is considered das. So that's what the Gemara says. If the Beis Din was kaifa man to divorce his wife, Shaloi kedin. The din is that they should not have been kaifa him. If they forced him, shaloi kedin. So the get is kosher min haTorah. It's only possible the Rabban. Why is it kosher min haTorah? Because Kozman, he was married, so the wife is taking care of all the laundry, and she's taking care of all the food, and she's cleaning the house. I mean, the house is in good condition, and they have a happy marriage. But also, he gets from the wife. But he has to give the wife. He has to pay her. He has to give her money to buy clothing and to buy nice furniture and so on. Once he's divorced, he's not meshuvah to her. She's not meshuvah to him. So it's not like Talyuhu the Yohiv. Not that they pressured me to give you a matana. I didn't give you the Rembrandt for matana. They pressured you, threatened to kill me unless I sell you the Rembrandt for $500,000. I really wanted a little more than half a million, but $500,000 is okay. It's a reasonable amount of money. So that's Toyub is Zavin, Zvina is Zvina. So the same thing if the Beis Din pressured a person to get divorced from his wife, Shaloi Kedin, they should not have pressured him. But once he's divorcing his wife, so he's not going to get any services from the wife, but he's not Meshubit to give her Mezainus anymore. Not Meshubit. She likes to collect pocketbooks and shoes, and everything matches, and all the dresses, and all the hats, and everything. She has 55 shekelin and 100 different dresses. So he's part of him paying her, and she's part of him giving him dessert. That's called Toyub is oven. So the Gemara said, the get is good min haTorah, but it's possible the Rabbanan. But if the Kechavim, what if the Goyish court pressured the man to give his wife a get? They said, if you don't give your wife a get, we're going to put you in jail. So then the Mishnah says that the get is pasul. Yeah, that's a question. When does Bezin kaifa a person to give a get? When is it kedin? So if a kohen is married to a grusha, the Bezin is supposed to be kaifa for him to give a get. Or if a Yisrael is married to a mamzeris, he's married by Issa. Person is married by Issa, so you kaifa for him to give a get. That's the general din of kaifa for ala mitzvah. The Gemara has a din. Let's say a man doesn't want to eat matzah on Leil Pesach. He doesn't want to shake a lulav. So we warn him, you have to eat the matzah, you have to shake a lulav. He doesn't want to, so we beat him up. So the Gemara learns it after the psukim, kaifa ala mitzvahs. The pasuk says, that pasuk says after the brisad hagrizim and harevel, originally there was a brisad har Sinai that we entered into a covenant with the Rebbeinu Shlom to observe all the Tayyam mitzvahs. Then there was a brisad Arvis Maya before Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, made a second bris. Second bris was lo itchem lo atchem anoch garis abris ki Moshe yeshtem boras hashayin enepo the doras asidim. We today are obligated to observe the mitzvahs, not so much because of the bris at Harsinai. Bris at Harsinai was only with the people who were present at that time, the people who were born, who were alive at that time. So we weren't alive then. But then the bris at Arvis Maya, before Moshe Rabbeinu died, so he says, this bris is lo yitchem levatchem, not only with those present, ki masher enenepo. The Gemara says, doros abayim. Rashi and Chumash quotes the Gemara Shavuos. That goes, so the binding force, why is the Torah binding on us today? Because of the second bris at Arvis Moyov. And then the Torah says, B'avrichem es hayarden, when they cross over the Yarden, they should make a third krisis bris. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't go, he didn't cross over the Yarden, so Yeshua ben Nun had to supervise the third krisis bris, that was a hagriz maharevo. So they recited the brachas of the klolis. And at that time, there were mekabel orvas, kol yisrael harevim zeh bezeh. So the pasuk ends off, Hanistara yisrael shem alakeinu. If a person is sinning privately, we don't know, we don't see what he's doing, the Rebbeinu Shlom will have to look after that. If the Rebbeinu Shlom is upset, he'll have to punish the fellow. We can't do anything about it. However, but if you see the person is doing something wrong, he's not doing a mitzvah, he's doing an avera. What do you mean, la'asois? So the pasuk pshat is, it's our obligation to observe the mitzvah. So the Gemara understands an additional level of interpretation. La asais isui means to force, to pressure. La asais to enforce the laws of the Torah, to see to it that everybody observes all of the mitzvahs. That din, handiglos lan adarenam la asais, that kaifin ala mitzvahs, the din kaifin ala mitzvahs, that began after the brisad hagrizim haharevam. Rashi HaChumash quotes the Gemara that there are 11 nekudas. Lo nol v'neinu and the ayin avad, there are 11 nekudas on top of the letters to indicate that it's not always the case. You don't always say kol yisrael harevim zeh bezeh. It began after they crossed over the Yarden, after the krisis bris, the hagrizim and harevim. So that's one din that you kaifa ala mitzvahs when a man is married by Issa. Or let's say I have a chatzi eved v'chatzi ben chorin. So the Beishamai argument, Bisila finally, Chazar Bisila Harvest Kadiri Beishamai. Bisila backed out from their original sheet and they agreed with Beishamai. What? Kofinus Rabbah Vososa Ben Chorin. You pressure the Yodin, you force the Yodin to free him. Okay, in order that the Evan should be able to get married. As he is now, he can't marry a Bas Chorin, can't marry a Shifcha. You pray for the Yodin to enable the Evan to do some mitzvah. So that's a kviya Birodim Lamokam. That the kohen shouldn't be married to the grusha, and Yisrael shouldn't be married to the mamzeres, and the chatzieved v'chatzman should be able to perform mitzvahs. Then there's another. That's the whole the langa teisvus. Then there's another kfiya la mitzvahs. A man is married to a woman, and he's ma'agin her. He leaves. He runs away. He doesn't give her mezainus. She can't marry anybody else. She's stuck. She's an eishes ish, and he's not living up to his half of the deal. So he's ma'agin the wife. So you kai for the husband to give his wife a get because of Biran Machaveira. Because it's unfair. He's absolutely unfair to the wife. Let's say someone is beating up someone else, or someone is stealing. Someone works for a company and he's stealing all the time. So the Bezin steps in and they warn him, you have to stop or we're going to beat you up, or we're going to put you in prison, whatever. So then you kai for because of the Biran Machaveira. So that's what Taisa says. many of the cases in the Mishnah, in Ksubis, when it says that you kaif for the husband to give his wife a get, husband has a terrible sickness that is going to be can be communicated to the wife, or the sickness is, even if it can't be communicated to the wife, but makes life miserable, absolutely miserable. So that's not fair. She married him when he was healthy, and now he's so sick. It's not appealing at all to live with such a husband. So it's not fair that he should hold his wife to the marriage. So that's what Bezna is kai for the husband to be megarish his wife. That's a kfir bein adam machavera. That's a shaila here in America. Can you do that? So the wife can get a civil divorce, but if she just gets a civil divorce, she's going to get, she can't remarry. So do we have the right to be koifa on a get? So in America, there's freedom of religion. You can't be koifa anybody to keep any religion. And the Jewish people thrive because of the fact there's freedom of religion. There wouldn't be freedom of religion. They would force us to worship Christianity. It's a Christian country. So we only have hatzlocha in this country. All the hatzlocha that the Jews have is because of the freedom of religion. So anybody who lives here in America made a conscious decision. You want to live here with the freedom of religion. So the Beis Din, Dina de Malchus Adina, the law of the land is binding. The law of the land is binding as far as what is concerned. Imamanus, yeah. The laws of the land are binding, so I can eat basa b'chalav, because President Trump says it's mutter to eat basa b'chalav. The law of the land doesn't apply to Yisrael Heter. Okay? The government allows you to keep your store open on Shabbos. So you're allowed to keep your store open on Shabbos? Not allowed to. Din Machus only applies in Din Imamanus, but on Machaver doesn't apply in on the Malamakams. But in Ben Adam Lachaveroi, the government in America says there's freedom of religion. You can't force me. It's against the law to force me to do a religious act. I should give my wife a religious gift. She's divorced according to the Din of Machus, so she gets a civil divorce. So if you're going to have a Beis Din is going to force a husband to give his wife a get, they're different, but they did them here in America. It's written up in the papers from time to time. The Jew, a different Yiddish, but they did them, will beat up a husband till he'll agree to give his wife a get. Even if the get is being given because of the Beis Din Machaver, because the husband is ma'agin the wife. Yeah, but still, that's you're forcing him to observe the Jewish religion. And according to the laws of the land, he doesn't have to observe the Jewish religion. And the wife decided she likes it in America. The husband and the wife live in America. So whoever lives in America is implicitly agreeing to observe the Moichalan Eschusim Ben Adam Achaveira, because there's freedom of religion here. So the Pashtus is that if a Beis Din in America would be kaif a husband to give his wife a get, because of the Ben Adam Achaveira issue, his mag and his wife, that would be a Beis Din, that would be a get hamus of Yisrael shaloi kedin. The Pashtun says that would be shaloi kedin. That's not kedin. And the days of the Tanoim was kedin, because the government was run by the Jewish people. The Jewish people ran the government in Eretz Yisrael. But in America, there's freedom of religion. You can't kai for the husband. According to the Din of Machus, you can't kai for the husband to give his wife a get. You're forcing him to do a religious act. So the Pashta says that everybody who lives in America subscribes to this freedom of religion. So how can a Beis Din have the right to be koifa? The Pashta says that a Beis Din in America will be koifa a husband to give a get because Ma'ag and his wife, that's an isui, a Beis Din get musa b'Yisrael shaloi kedin, so the get is kosh manatar, but it's possible the rabbon. The wife would need another get. The first get was really no good. That's the Pashta says like that. Anyway, because this din, if the Beis Din is kaifa shaloi kedin, the get is possible. The get is kosh manatar, but it's possible the rabbanon. So that's why Tosfos writes on the last line of Tosfos, the last line that long Tosfos. You have to be very careful. You have to make sure that if Beis Din is kaifa ala get, that it's taki kedin. If it's going to be shaloi kedin, then the get will be possible the rabbanon. Because the get hamus and shaloi kedin, that's the last line of Tosfos. We don't want to have a get hamus and shaloi kedin, in which case it'll be possible midrabbanan. So you got to be very careful before you want to be kofar laget. You want to make sure that it's really kedin.
So what do you do with the Rambam with the kofar nisa shiyomer rotsani? Is that a gemusa?
That's when it's kedin. Whenever the Mishnah says,
if somebody's ma'agin his wife,
yeah.
So why can't Basin be kofar and then he's rotsom?
Right. The Rambam is quoting the Gemara. Right. The Rambam is quoting the Gemara Cheskat Batim.
So
the Gemara asks on the Mishnah, how can the Mishnah say that the Mishnah in Erechin, it's not in Gittin, it should have been in Gittin. Mishnah in Erechin says that when the Mishnah says in Ksubis that sometimes the Bezin is kai for the husband to give his wife a get, he's very sick and the marriage is a miserable marriage, or she has a contagious disease, she's gonna get sick from him. So whatever, it's unfair that the husband holds his wife hostage in the marriage, so the bezin is kaifa because of the bin al machaber. So the Rambam quotes the Gemara as the kasha, but it's a get hamusa is possible. You need das abal. So the Gemara gives an answer because tol yuvazav in zvina zvina. So the Gemara explains that's why the get hamusa ayde bezin is good. Tol yuvazav. The Rambam gives the other answer. The Gemara says, that's the machloikis, whether Talyub is Abin Zvin is Vin or not. I have this Rembrandt, it's not for sale, and I don't need any money. If I'll be under pressure for money, I'll sell the Rembrandt. That'll be the first thing I'll sell. But Kozman, I'm a wealthy man, I'm not under pressure. So if someone holds a gun to my head and he pressures me, they say Talyub is Abin Zvin is Vin. But other Amoraim hold it's not true. Talyub is Abin is not Das, it's not considered Das. So if you all tell you Zabin is no good, not Zvina Zvina, so how can the Bezdin kai for me to give a get? The Gemara says, no, that's different, because every Jew deep down in his heart wants to follow, he has an inner desire to follow the Dinim of the Torah. The Torah says, we should also follow what the Chachamim tell us to do, and the Chachamim say you have to give a get. That's his true wish, that's his true desire. When you beat him up till he says, right, Sane, so now his true self is coming out. When he said all along, I don't want to give my wife a get, that's his pseudo-personality. This is not his true self. When they beat him up and he says, I do want to give a get, because that's what the rabbis want, so that's really true. So all the Mefarshim ask on the Ram, why did he give this explanation? The Gemara gives that explanation, if you would hold Talyub Zavin is no good. But we pass on Talyub Zavin is good. So the get is good when Besna forces him, because Talyub Zavin is Vina, Vina. Even if the Bezin Kaifa Shalai Kedin, the din is a get is Kashim and Atar, because Talyub is Oven. So all the Noisi Kelim and the Ramam are bothered with the Kash. It's a beautiful line in the Ramam. Ram got it from the Gemara. Ram is just elaborating on the Gemara. But still, what do they need it for?
Hashem Eretzani,
yeah. That's the Mishnah in Erechin. Davchot Hashem Eretzani. And the Gemara, Cheska Sabatim, and Baba Basra, explains why does it help. So the Gemara gave the two pshat, maybe because Talyub Zavin is good, even by a Mekach is good. So that's the Rambam should have said that. We pass on Talyub Zavin is Vina is Vina. The Rambam gives the other explanation because that's different, because everybody wants to do what the Torah tells you, what the right thing is to do.
So these Batli Dinam for beat up the husbands in America, what did they rely on for the Darabanan portion of the Gemara?
I think they're not sufficiently learned to realize that it's Shaloi Kedin. In America, it's Shaloi Kedin.
But sometimes it's like really well-known big Rabbanan. But we're behind it. Not
so you want me to farem for why I think they're making a mistake? So you want me to justify? I don't think they're justified. I think the Yosha dictates we should beat the husband up till we kill him. That's how you say Rabbi Kivega once told the husband, you have a choice. Either give a get, the woman can become a teres, either she'll become a grusha or an almana. So we give you the choice. You want to give a get, and if not, I'll see to it that she'll become an almana. So they say the husband refused to give a get, and he walked out of Rabbi Kivega's house, and he fell and he got killed. He died right away. Okay? So if he can give a klala, he deserves a klala, because he's a ma'ag and a wife. It's a miserable thing to do. But the bezin should be kai for him. The pashtus says that in America, that's shaloi kedin. That's exactly the din in the Malchusa of freedom of religion. You can't, in America, you can't be koy for anybody to do any religious act. And the Jews live on the freedom of religion. If we wouldn't have freedom of religion, we wouldn't be able to sit and learn Gemara here. They wouldn't let us learn Gemara.
What did the Eretz Yisrael take?
in Eretz Yisrael. They take away your driver's license, they take away your passport, they put you in prison. They don't need, that's what the chief rabbi, one of the rabbanim was trying to, one of the American rabbanim went on Aliyah, was trying to convince Chief Rabbi Lau, the young Rabbi David Lau, that they should introduce the prenuptial agreement in Eretz Yisrael to solve the problem of the agunas. So he told them, we don't need a prenuptial agreement. The husband doesn't want to give a get, we put him in jail. That's all. 1, 2, 3. They don't have to beat him up. They don't have to makanoso. They take away his driver's license, or they take away his passport, and so on. They make life miserable for him. It's a tantamount to beating him up. Yeah. So that's what the Taisa says at the end. The Rambam says, the Rambam, there's a Gemara. If the Gemara in Yevamos, I think. Ksubas, Yevamos, I forgot already. Probably it's in Ksubas, not in Yevamos. The Gemara says, if the wife says, Moyes alai, she's just disgusted with her husband, she refuses to be with her husband. She can't stand living with her husband. So then the Rambam understood in the Gemara that kofen oso lagarish, that you beat up the husband, you force him to give the wife a get. And many Rishonim disagree with the Rambam. That's because she says, boy, it's a lie. She married him originally. Nothing really changed. But now they have such friction in the marriage, she just says, I find it disgusting. I'm just disgusted. I don't want to live with him. So Rabbi Kapach, Zechano Baruch, used to be in the Rabbanut. He was a Taimani, I think. I think so. So Rabbi Kapach used to always like the Taimani, liked the Paschim, like the Rambam. So he would always like the Paschim. Whenever the wife says, Moyes alai, she absolutely refuses till she'll never live with the husband, she doesn't want to live with him, he would always be kai for the husband to give again. He would put the husband in prison if he wouldn't want to give again. But most of the Paschim don't hold like that, so he'd always find another tziruf. Another reason why there's cause to be koifa to give again. But most of the Rabbanim and Eretz Yisrael, that's not the common practice. You're not koifa. We don't follow that Rambam. That every time the wife says, Moyes alai, she just finds it abhorring to live with her husband. We're not koifa on that. That's very unfortunate. A lot of times the marriage is such, there's such friction in the marriage that the wife just says, Moyes alai, I can't stand living with him anymore. So that we don't follow the Rambam. And we're afraid to follow the Rambam because it may be a get musa b'yisrael shelo kedin, in which case it'll be kosher min haTorah, but it'll be pasul mid rabbanim. That's the long thesis, that there's sometimes a koy for the husband to give a get because of ben adam lamakan, because the koyin is married to a grusha, and sometimes a koy for the husband to give a get because of ben adam machaver is being unfair to the wife. Well, let's say thesis quotes another case. A woman is married, and the husband dies, they have no children, so she needs either chalitza yibum, something or the other. So the yavam, the brother-in-law, doesn't want to do either. He doesn't want to do yibum, doesn't want to do chalitza. So she's stuck. She can't marry anybody else, she's not allowed to. And the yavam doesn't want to marry her. So that's not fair. That's benot v'chaveru. So then the Gemara says, you kai for him. You kai for him, that he should make up your mind, do something, you can't leave it the way it is. Taisa quotes many cases from the Gemara that you kai for the man to give a get, or you kai for the yavam to do chalitza yibam because of the avla ben adam lahaver.
What do we mean by pasul midrabban? What are the consequences of that?
She can't remarry. The get midrabban, she's allowed to remarry. Rabban, she's stuck. She can't remarry. But since the get was a good get ben haTorah, so let's say the husband was forced into giving her a get like it did by a Jewish person, so the get is kosher ben haTorah by pasul mid rabban, except the husband drops dead now, so shein gut, she's an almana now, let her be, an almana is allowed to marry a kohen. No, she's an almana mid rabban, but ben haTorah she's a grusha, so she can't marry a kohen. Ben haTorah, the first get was good, so she's a grusha min haTorah. And mid rabbanon, the first get was no good. The husband gave her get shaloi kedin bezn force. So you have to wait till the husband dies, then she'll be both an amon and a grusha. So you have the chumras of both. Yeah. What's over here? This case: a man is married for 10 years, has no children. So there's a din. In the days of the Gemara, there were days of the Tanoim. There used to be kaifa on pirei v'rivya. A guy is 25 years old, he's not interested in getting married. If he's interested, he keeps on going out on dates. Nothing works out. You have to have, both parties have to agree. Okay, so he's doing whatever he can do. What if he says on principle? He's not interested in getting married. So bisman ha-tanayim, apparently, there was a period of time that there would be koy for the man to get married in order to fulfill the mitzvah of piriverivyon. So that's what it says in the Braisa. He's married for 10 years and they didn't have any children. Yoytzi, the eating ksuba, that's the second line in the Gemara right after the Mishnah is over. Yoytzi, so the Tosfos says the first 30 lines in Tosfos, till you get to the latter part of Tosfos, Tosfos is not so convinced that Yoytzi means you force him. But the whole first 30 lines, they're assuming Yoytzi means Bezman will be kai for him to divorce his wife and force him to marry someone else. So that's a shaila whether that din still applies bisman hazayu. Koifer, if a man was married 10 years, bisman hazayu taka koifer him to get divorced. If the government in Eretz would be run by the aguda, by the degelator, by shas b'dem, which is a religious government, so would they be koifer bisman hazayu? So there's a gemara in the end of Cheskas Habatim. The gemara says at the time of the churban by Sheni, a suggestion was brought up to the chachamim that maybe we should make a gzera de rabbanan. None of us should have any children. What do you have more Jewish children? You have the Nazis have more Jews to kill. You're just making more. In every generation, there are pogroms. During my lifetime, there were hardly any pogroms. But before I was born, and now it's starting all over again. This with the last 70 years was a calm, more or less calm period for the Jewish people. Historically, we never had such a period of peace. There were always pogroms all over the world. There were always pogroms. So the shaila is, at the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni, there was such shchitis, there was such suffering that the Jews suffered. So they suggested to the Rabbanim, maybe we should make a gzera, no one should have any children, in order that the goyim shouldn't have any more Jews to kill. So the Tanoim said it's not a smart idea, because men and women are attracted to each other naturally. So it's a gzera shenrei batzi b'yicholim lamabah. People are going to want to marry each other. And apparently, bizman ha-tanayim, they didn't know of, they didn't know how to practice birth control. Be'etah, you have to figure out what's muta, what's asa. But the Gemara says they really should have made. The Gemara presents that they really should have made such a gzera derabanan. We shouldn't have any children. So Tosfos on that Gemara, that's the Gemara, the end of Cheskas Habatim. The Tosfos on that Gemara says, how can they make a gzera not to get married? It's like against the pasuk in Chumash. It says pruravu, you have to have children. So Tosfos says what it means was that they should have made gzera derabbanan, you shouldn't have more than a son and a daughter. La'erev al tanach yadecha, the Gemara says, if you have a son and a daughter, it's in the mitzvah, piriverivya. But there's a pasuk in the Rikabalah, in Kohelis, that says, babekon sarasecha, la'erev al tanach yadecha, you should have more than a son and a daughter. So that's what they were going to make gzera derabbanan, not to have extra, not to have the mahadran of more than one son and one daughter. Everyone should just have a son and a daughter. Other Rishonim learned the Gemara Kipshuto. They wanted the Chacham to make Gzer, because Yesh Kerach V'yar Chachamim V'lakadov Manatar B'Shei V'yam Tasa. So the Gemara meant they should do away with the whole mitzvah of Piri B'Rivya B'Zman HaZemid Rabbanan. That's a famous machloikis. Rab David Cohen from Gvul Yavitz, from Flatbush, put out a whole sefer, Al Dibri HaTaz HaYadua. The Taz quotes his father-in-law, the Bach, in three different places in Shulchan Aruch, that the Bezin has no right to make Gzera Derabani Keneged Dovah HaMufurish BaTorah. He quotes the Kasha in three different places, in three different areas. One, the most famous of the three places is by Tkia Shofar. When Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, so they made Gzera Derabani, you're not allowed to blow Shofar. Gzera Shemi Avirenu. You may forget and carry the shofar. So the Taz quotes a kasha from the Bach, from his father-in-law, they should have made a gzeret. You're never allowed to blow shofar in any Rosh Hashanah. It's mashmiya kol. It's a musical instrument, and you're not allowed to play any musical instruments. So the Taz quotes the Teretz from the Bach. It says in the Chumash you have to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. It doesn't say explicitly you have to blow shofar even if Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. That doesn't say, but it's self-understood, the din is the same. But since it doesn't say explicitly when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, so that they have authority, they have the right to make a gzer derabanan, to be oiker lakadov benatar b'shei b'altase, not to fulfill the mitzvah of tkiyah shofar. But to be oiker the mitzvah legamrek, it says in the Torah you have to blow shofar. The bezin has no right, they have no authority to be oiker adov amafurish b'atar l'hetar. It says b'feirish that it's muta, they have no right to make a gzer. That's what the Taz says. So Rav David Cohen has a whole sefer. He has more svarim. He writes svarim faster than I can read them. He writes, and every sefer is something new. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. He's shooting off the svarim. Unbelievable. He's older than me. He writes a lot of svarim. He has a whole sefer on this that's close to every mocker in the Rishonim Acharonim where they discuss it. So that Tosis is one of the sources. The Reb Shlomo Gansfried, the author of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, has a sefer on Baba Basra. It's called Pnei Shlomo. So in that Tosis, in the end of Cheskas Abatim, the Pnei Shlomo discusses this. He showed this is the Machlekes of Rishonim there. Tosis says the whole Havamina of the Balabatim, when they suggested to the Rabbanim at the time of the Churban HaBayis that should make a gzera, no one should have any children, was only on having more than Pirei Rebbe. They couldn't make a gzera keneged davar mefurish b'Torah. It says black and white in the Chumash, you have to have Pirei Rebbe. And the Mordechai and Yevamah says not, so the Mordechai understands, no. The consideration was to do away with the whole mitzvah, to be yoker and gans in the whole mitzvah. So that's the way it says in Shulchan Aruch, it says like the Mordechai. It says that even though bisman ha-gemore, even though bisman not bisman, even though bisman ha-bayis, there would be kaifa if a man was married for 10 years, didn't have any children, yoytzi v'yitin ksuba in the beginning, the first 30, 40 lines in Taisus, they understood yoytzi means business, kaifa him to give a get, they would force him to get married to someone else to fulfill piravirivya, but bisman ha-zeh, we're not kaifa, because more correct is we really shouldn't have any children. After the Churban HaBayis, after all the pogroms, we really shouldn't have any children. The Yehudim smart, they didn't make the gzeres ein rei v'atzid v'cholam l'amabod. The people are just not going to listen. They'll be attracted, the men will be attracted to the women. They'll fall in love with them, they're going to marry them. So you can't make a gzeres that you know everyone's going to violate. But more correct is that you really shouldn't have any children. So that's why we wouldn't be kaifa if the fellow's married 10 years and he doesn't have any children. We wouldn't be kaifa that...
There's a whole story with our brother. With Abram, he was Megarish's wife, they shouldn't have children. Abram.
Yeah.
He was Megarish's wife. And Miriam said he should take her back.
Abram. Yes, yes.
And that's the whole story with Abram.
Yes, yes. Yes. But still, that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that Bizman Hazeh, we don't follow this din. After the Churban Bayis Sheni, we no longer follow this din. The Gemara keeps on talking, and the days of the Gemara was after the Churban Bayis Sheni. Most of the Tanaim lived after the Churban Bayis Sheni. But that's what the Shulchan Aruch quotes that from the Mordechai.
Then the
Jewish
people would disappear after a period of time.
That's what the Gemara says. The Gzeira is just not going to fly. The people will be attracted. The men and the women will be attracted. They're gonna have children anyway. There's no way to prevent it. But so that's why the Chacham didn't make the gzera. But more correct is we should have made such a gzera.
Why wouldn't you consider Harosha, maybe? Harosha?
Yeah.
That they shouldn't have a period of time?
Also, they saw it's not going to be observed. The people just won't observe it. Yeah. Rabbi Yitzchak Lepeteburger, the Talmud of Rabbi Sol Salanta, Rabbi Yitzchak Blaza, he was married for many years with his first wife. He never had any children. He never brought it up to her. He didn't say a word to his wife. Because in Shulchan Aruch it says that Bizman is we're not kaifa because more correct is he shouldn't have children. See, after many years, the wife suggested to him, he was one of the big Bali Musa, he was the one who was mefarsim the whole Musa movement of Rabbi Sol Salanta. Sol Salanta was very active during his lifetime, but he was the one who was mefarsim it to the rest of the world. So the wife brought it up to him. Maybe you'd like to marry someone else who will be able to have children. So he said that now that you mention it, he would be interested. And he divorced his first wife. It was a rabbi of St. Petersburg. That's why he's called Rav Yitzchak Lepeteburger. He had a tremendous salary. He made a lot of money. And he set up the first wife. He put in money in a bank account. She should live at Ner Es Mishana. Then he married a second wife and he had descendants. Had children from the second wife. At an older age. But he didn't want to bring it up with the first wife. He didn't want to hurt her feelings. And it says in Shulchan Aruch, that is man hazeh. We don't observe this din anymore. Yeah. Rav Nosson Adler also. Rav Nosson Adler only had one daughter. He didn't have more than one child. So he never fulfilled Pirei Rebbe. And also people asked him, so he said that we don't get divorced, bizman hazeh, because of Pirei Rebbe. because of that Mordechai. Because more correct would have been that they should have made such a gzeira that we shouldn't have any children. Anyway, so that's the din in the Mishnah. Nasa Isha Vishayim Eshashanim, he's married for 10 years, doesn't have children. So we don't know whether the husband has the problem or the wife. In the days of the Torah, that's no way of ascertaining. So it says, Ein Rashay Livatel, maybe it's not his fault, maybe the wife is infertile, so he should divorce her. And Tosfos learns in the beginning, Yotze means you claim for the husband to divorce the wife, and you insist that he should remarry and try to have children from the second wife. The Shaila, does he have to pay ksuba? What's the din? When does a man pay ksuba? Here, the Bezin forced him to get divorced. If a man dumps his wife, he falls in love with his secretary, so he divorces his wife and he marries this young secretary, he's 20 years younger than him. So of course he pays ksuba. The whole idea of ksuba, shaloi te kala b'ayin of loitzia. It shouldn't be easy for the husband to divorce his wife. Yeah, but over here, he doesn't want to divorce her. He's in love with the first wife. The Bezin forced him to divorce the wife. So does he have to pay her the ksuba? So the Mishnah says, does it say the Mishnah? The Mishnah doesn't say. What is it saying in the Gemara? Oh, the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, and the first two lines in the Gemara where they quoted the Tosefta, Yotzi v'yitin ksuba. He has to pay the ksuba. What's the rule? What's the rule? So that's a Mishnah in ksubas. The rule is whenever a couple gets divorced, if it's the fault of the husband that they're getting divorced, the husband, they're putting the husband in prison for the next 50 years. So he's not going to have a husband. So we insist the husband should give his wife a get. That's not fair. Or the husband doesn't support her. He's a shaker and he doesn't work for a living. And she's stuck, she's an Eishes Ish. If it's not fair that the husband is holding his wife captive, all the cases that Tosfos quoted, that you force the husband to give his wife a get because of the Benad HaMachaber, he's ba'abling the wife. So if it's the fault of the husband that he's giving a get, then of course he has to pay the ksuba. What if it's nobody's fault? They originally fell in love, now they just fall out of love. They don't like each other. They have a friendly divorce. They don't love each other anymore, so that's the din, that whenever the husband divorces his wife, he has to give her a ksuba. The only time he's potter from the ksuba, if it's her fault. When is it her fault? So let's say she's not going to the mikveh, and she's lying to the husband. She says she's going to the mikveh every month, and she's not. Or she's feeding him tray for food, and he didn't realize it. She was fooling him into believing that all the food is kosher, and it's not kosher. Or she curses the shvigar in the presence of the husband. The kalelos yolda befonav. That's considered ruining the marriage. Having respect for the in-laws is one of the understood conditions of the marriage. Or let's say the Mishnah has, she doesn't want to have any children. They got married, they didn't discuss the issue, but they're going to have children. The husband understood that's what marriage is all about, to have children. And then after they're married, the wife doesn't want to have any children. She keeps on practicing birth control. She doesn't want to have. So that's considered, she's not living up to her half of the marriage deal. It's self-understood that that's what marriage is all about. Or the Mishnah has a strange example, Mishnah in Ksubas. I think at that fine base. Let's say she doesn't want to cover her hair. So if when they got married, she wasn't covering her hair, and then the husband became a Baal Tshuva, and then the husband starts going to Daf Yomi, and 20 years after he got married, he wants the wife to cover her. She said, what are you talking about? When we got married, we weren't observant. We never made that condition. So then he can't say, I want to divorce you because you're not covering your hair. When they got married, it's understood they're not going to keep kosher, and they're not going to keep Taras HaMishpacha. When they got married, they weren't observant. Then he becomes a Baal Tshuva later, so he can't divorce her because she doesn't want to go to the mikveh. He has no right to divorce her. If he wants to divorce her, he has to pay her the ksuba. It's not considered her fault. When they got married, that was not understood to be one of the conditions of the marriage. The only time, if she doesn't go to mikveh and she gives him tray for food, that's if from the very outset of the marriage it was understood she is going to go to the mikveh. She's going to cover her hair. She doesn't live up to those conditions, and then it's considered she's responsible for breaking up the marriage. Then the Gemara has another, the Mishnah has another case, Noderis ve'ena mikayemis. She takes, the wife takes the Nedarim and she violates the Nedarim. So let's say the man is married to his wife and she decides she's not going to keep Shabbos anymore. And he's a Daf Yomi man. He sits in the Nedarim and he's davening all day and lighting all day. She doesn't want to be Shomer Shabbos. If you want to divorce her, you have to pay her the Ksuba. That's not one of the conditions of the marriage, that the wife has to be religious. Wives have to be observant. He married her, when he married her, she was a Shomer Shabbos. Now she doesn't want to keep Shabbos. That's her business. So if the husband wants a divorce, he has to pay Ksuba. So why? That's not considered she's at fault for the marriage. He doesn't like her anymore because she's not observant. So why does it say in the Mishnah that there is Vayne Mikayemis? So the Gemara says because Bavayne Nedarim Bani Mason. The Gemara explains it there. If the husband or the wife, if one of the parents takes Nedarim and they violate them, usually the husband does, not the wife. The husband pledges, they make an appeal and he pledges to give $5,000 and he never pays the money. The women usually don't take Nedarim that they're going to give money. But if the wife takes Nedarim and she doesn't observe the Nedarim, so because we learn that from a pasuk in Tanakh, Bavon Nedarim, Bani Mason, if one of the parents takes Nedarim and they don't live up to it, the children will die. So that affects the marriage. That means that the wife is not living up to the conditions of the marriage. Just like if she's disrespectful, if she curses the Shvigar in the presence of the husband, that's considered she's not living up to the conditions of the marriage. So if she's taking the darn, the deris, she takes none, she doesn't live up to them, this may possibly cause the children to die. So that's part of the responsibilities of marriage. That's part of the obligations of marriage, to have children and to raise the children.
Like that, it's not her money. If a woman goes out and spends a lot of money, and the husband... you're not obligated to pay.
Yeah, so let's say a case where she has her own money and she pledges to give her money and then she doesn't keep up the pledge. So then the Mishnah says he can divorce his wife and he doesn't have to pay her the ksuba because she's at fault. She's at fault for breaking up the marriage. Why? If she decides no longer after 50 years of marriage, she decides she's going to be Mechal Shabbos, not going to keep Shabbos, that's not considered breaking up the marriage. He's not happy with a wife who's not Shomer Shabbos. But that's not considered breaking up the marriage. She doesn't go to mikveh. She's giving him tray for food. She's not cooking kosher food. She doesn't want to have marital relations. She's disrespectful to the in-laws in a very conspicuous fashion. She curses the shvigah in the presence of the husband. Or she doesn't want to have any children, or no deris v'ainim kayemis, because that will affect the children. Whenever the wife is responsible for breaking up the marriage, then you don't have to pay the ksuba.
No deris doesn't have to be only money, does it?
Other than dorm also, yeah. Not only money, that's right. Other than dorm also, yeah. So here, we don't know. They're getting divorced because they didn't have any children. Is it that the wife is not fertile? Is it that the husband? We don't know who. They're getting divorced. We don't know bevadois that it's the fault of the wife. It could be that it's the fault of the husband. So that's why it says in the Braise, Yaitse v'yitin ksuba, he's mukhiv to pay the ksuba. Why? Shemalazachali banos mimenin. Maybe menashamayim. Maybe it's the fault of the husband. If you'd be able to ascertain that the wife is not fertile, so he's divorcing the wife because she's the cause for the divorce. She's responsible because we just found out that she can't have any children. But if we don't know, in the days of the time they couldn't figure out who is the source of the problem. So then the Brisa says, Shem Olo Zacha, maybe the husband was not Zerach Leibonis Memena. And then the Gemara is going to ask another base. Amboitzim Machavera, all of Harai, if you're not sure, whose fault is it that they don't have children? Maybe she's not fertile. Why do you say that he pays ksuba? Because maybe it's his fault, but maybe it's not his fault. Maybe it's her fault. Maybe she's not fertile. So why do you make him pay ksuba? That's what the Gemara asks. Shema l'socha, here, the second white line on Omid Beis, on Samach Dalan on the Beis. The Gemara says, V'hai... That line in the Brisa Shema Lazach Libanus Amen of Dilma Ihi Dilo Zachia, maybe it's her fault. So Rashi says, why do you say the husband has to pay the ksuba? It's a suffix, whether his fault or her fault. So maybe it's her fault and a suffix. So the husband should not have to pay. And for the Gemara, since women are not mechuyev, to have children only, the men are mechuyev, that's a machlokes hatanaim later in the perek. Whether the mitzvah of Pirei Rivi only applies to the men or applies to the women as well. We assume the women are not mechuyev in Pirei Rivi. We just said there's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch, machlokes, two taisvis in one taisvis in Chagiga and one taisvis in Gittin. Not 2 days in the same taisvis, two different taisvis in two different mesichtas, where the women are not mechuyev in Pirei Rivi, are they mechuyev in Shevis, Tobor Ola Shevis Yitzor. So let's say a girl wants to marry a boy, and she knows he can't have any children. She knows she can't have any children. She is fertile, she can have children. So if women are not mechuyev in anything, she's allowed it. She may be unhappy later in life that she has no children. It may be a terrible decision that she's going to marry a boy who's not going to be able to have children. But if that's what she wants, okay. But if you hold that, even though women are not mechuyev in Pirei Rivi, they are mechuyev in Shevis, so they have to have at least one child. So that they have no children, we wouldn't allow them to marry a boy whom we know can't have any children. And let's say the girl was married before, she has one child from a previous marriage. And now she's not mechuyev to have two children. One child, she's here to Shevis, not mechuyev in Pirei Rivi. And then she's allowed to marry a man who's not able to have children, then it wouldn't be a problem. But is she allowed to marry in the first place? She has no children, would be allowed. So that depends on the machlekes and taisus and the two different mesichtas, where the women are mechuyev in Shevis. So that's what the Gemara says. Since women are not mechuyev in Pirei Rivi, you can't say that it's men hashamayim that she wasn't zeichet to have children. It's not her mitzvah. So it's more mistapa to say that it's his fault. Men hashamayim, they don't want him to have any children. So we say that therefore the husband is mechuyev to pay the ksubah to the wife. Yeah, that Mishnah in ksubahs on Daf Ayin Beis, that Mishnah in ksubahs lists off all the situations where it's the fault of the wife, that they're getting divorced, and therefore she forfeits the ksubah. She doesn't want to go to mikveh, she doesn't want to have any children, she doesn't want to have marital relations with the husband, she's disrespectful to the shvig, and so on. Whenever you can ascertain it's the fault of the wife, then she forfeits the ksubah. And that's a big machlokes in the Rishonim. Is that a punishment? We penalize the woman because she's at fault for the marriage? But it's not a punishment whenever she's responsible for the divorce. The Chachamim whenever misakein in the first place, the Chiyuv Ksuba. So that's a machlokes, the Ran on the Rif, there in Ksuba, on Daf and Beis. The Ran has machlokes with the Raibit, I think, with other Rishonim. What if the Mishnah says if the wife isn't going to mikveh, then the husband has a right to divorce her? So the Gemara says, what's the story? The husband knows that she's not going to the mikveh. She's Mishamshas Anida. She's sleeping with the husband even though she didn't go to mikveh. If the husband knows and he doesn't care, so what does he have the right to divorce her? So he doesn't know, so how did he find out? How did he find out later on? So the Ran quotes the Rishonim, asks, what if the wife admitted? The last 5 years, I haven't been going to mikveh. I'm making believe, but I'm not going to the mikveh. So some Rishonim say, Ein ana mitzmatz mei rasha, we wouldn't believe her. We wouldn't believe the wife. And other Rishonim say, what do you mean, Ein ana mitzmatz mei rasha? Her daughter's baldin kaveh, she's admitting she's not entitled to the ksuba. So that's a fundamental machlaik. I think Rishon Mishkat explained that's a fundamental machlaik is, why does the Mishnah say in ksuba's dafani beis, that if the wife is responsible for the divorce, she doesn't get ksuba, is it a penalty for the violation of the Avera? Because she did an Avla, Misham Shas Anida, because she's doing something wrong. So, Eilon Meis Matz Marasha, you don't believe a person that he did an Avera in order that you should penalize him. But if you say, not a penalty for the Avera, they were never misaking Ksuba in such a case. So if she would admit that she's been Misham Shas Anida for the last 5 years, then Haidos Baldin Kameinim Dama, she's admitting that she's not entitled to the Ksuba. It's not as a penalty. It's just there's no takanas ksuba in such a case. No, that's a different question. What are grounds for divorce? Yeah. What are grounds for divorce? Yeah. No, but ikdicha tavshilo, that's grounds for divorce. You say that he doesn't have to pay ksuba. I think he does have to pay ksuba. think he probably does have to pay ksuva. Egricha tapshil, that's a different discussion. The end of Gittin, the very end of Gittin, the Tanaim have a machlokes, a discussion, what is grounds for divorce? When does it make sense that a person should divorce his wife? That Mishnah, the Afayim Beis, we may as well finish this off, that Mishnah has a discussion. What if a couple is married for years and years and they live in America, and then one of them decides to become a big Zionist, wants to move there, it's his own, the other one does want to go. All the children, all the grandchildren, all the relatives, everybody lives over here, and the other one does want to go. So the Mishnah says that the one who wants to go to Eretz Yisrael has digerech the taina, and the one who doesn't want to go is responsible for breaking up the marriage. So let's say the husband, they lived in America for all the years, married for 50 years. The husband says, I'm going to Eretz Yisrael, that's where all the action is, I want to see all the wonderful things, Nisim Rufos and Eretz Yisrael. He's going to us, and the wife refuses to go. All the children, all the grandchildren, everybody lives in America. So we say the wife, the husband has the gerechte taina, that whoever says he wants to go to Eretz has the gerechte taina, and the wife is refusing to go along is causing the divorce, so she loses the ksuba because she's responsible for the divorce. That's an interesting idea. If the wife wants to go and the husband doesn't want to go along and says, you want to go gay mixunta hate and I'm not gonna pay you ksuba, so the din is he has to pay ksuba. Because she has the gerechta taina. What you have by marriage, you have a shutfus. The husband and the wife are living together. Let's say he's only married to one wife. So whenever you have a shutfus, let's say you have a corporation with a lot of people have shares. And each one has a different opinion how to run the corporation. So they have an annual meeting and you go basarayv. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that whenever there's a shutfus, there's a machlekes, how to proceed with the shutfus. Should we open another branch in Tokyo? Should we open another branch in London? Or should we close one of the branches? So you go basarayv. And the Vilna Gaon writes, that's a toseft and bob metziah. Whenever there's a dispute among the shutfim, you go basarav. The Vilna Gaon says, what's the mocha for the tosefta? Zokta, a pasuk in mishpatim, acher rab mahatas. The pasuk says, you follow right. The pasuk goes on a bezin. There's a split vote in the bezin. But the Vilna Gaon holds that the pasuk goes on a shutfus as well. So let's say if you would have a husband with two wives, and then they would have a chiluk ideas whether they should move to Eretz Yisrael or not. So you'd be able to go basarav maybe. But normally, bizman atanoim, a husband usually only had one wife. It was unusual to have two wives. So it's one to one. So the Mishnah has a din. Yeah, let's say you have shutfim in a city. All the Jews, all the people who live in a city, have a din of shutfim for all the tzarachim in the city. So let's say one of the people wants to hire a rabbi, and the others don't want to hire a rabbi. So he has the gerechte taina. So even though 99% of the people don't want a rabbi, one person wants a rabbi, he can force them to pay for the rabbi's salary. Or let's say some of the people want a mikveh, the majority of the people don't want a mikveh, they'll drive to the other city. They don't need a mikveh for Shabbos and Yom Tov. The other city is only a 10-minute ride away. They don't want to pay $500,000 for a mikveh. So the halacha says, the one who wants to have a mikveh in the city has the gerechta taina, even though he's in the miut. Or let's say one person wants to have a shul. He wants to have a nice shul. He wants to have a library in the shul. The other say we can live without a shul. Every week we'll daven in someone else's house. We'll alternate. So the one who has the taina, I want to have a shul, has the gerechta taina, even though he's in a minority. The braisa says one person wants an eruv, and the others don't want, we don't need an eruv. One person wants an eruv, so he has the gerechta taina, everybody has to chip in. So that's an interesting idea. That's in Shulchan Aruch, that even though you normally go basarayv, but if there's a machlokes among the shutfim, and the miut has the gerechta taina, so the rayv have to pay to support the cause that the miut wants. See, so that's what it says by the marriage. If one, the husband and the wife, one of them wants to move to Eretz, the other one doesn't, so they're shutfim in the marriage, so it's 50-50. One wants to move, one wants to stay. So whoever says, I want to move to Eretz Yisrael, has the gerechta taina, that's more correct. And the one who doesn't want to go to Eretz Yisrael is responsible for breaking up the marriage. See, let's say the wife says, I want to move to Eretz Yisrael, the husband doesn't want to. So So I would have said, the wife is ruining the marriage. The Mishnah says, no. The husband is refusing to go. He's ruining the marriage. He does pay ksuv. In that case, even though she was the one who had this bug in her head, she decided to move to Eretz Yisrael. He does want to go along. We consider him as the one who is responsible for breaking up the marriage. That's the premise of that Mishnah in Ksubas on Daf Ayin Beis. That the husband always pays ksuba whenever he divorces the wife, unless he can clearly pin the blame on the wife and say that she was responsible for the divorce. And even if she is responsible, that's a machloikis in Iran. Is it a penalty? We penalize her for causing the divorce? Well, it's not a penalty. Biki hai gavna, then whatever mesake and ksuba in the first place. So that's a machloikis in Iran. Okay, we'll continue with Inera next week. Tonight, I just realized, tonight is Gimel Shvat. Rabbi Shesai, yeah, Rabbi Soloveitchik used to always give a big Yortzeit drasha on the night of Gimel Shvat, his father's Yortzeit. So just today, b'mikre, I wasn't even looking for this. I happened to come across a Dvar Torah from Rabbi Shesai Soloveitchik that I never heard before. And it goes as follows. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Kiddush HaChodesh, HaChodesh Azal Lachem Rosh Chodoshim is the first mitzvah that was given to the Jewish people. The first Rashi on Bereishis quotes from the Medrash, the Torah really should have begun from HaChodesh Azal Lachem, which was the first mitzvah that was given to Klal Yisrael as a nation. So what is the mitzvah? Kviyas Haluach. So whose mitzvah is this? Whose responsibility is it to determine whether any given month has 29 days or 30 days, whether any given year has 12 months or 13 months, on a pshut or shana muveres? So the Rambam says, the Bezn HaGol. The Ramban disagrees with the Rambam. How can you say Bezn HaGol? The Gemara says, the Rambam quotes the Gemara. The Rambam quotes the Gemara, till the days of Abai V'Rava lived in Barba. But till the days of Abai V'Rava, their counterparts who lived in Eretz Yisrael used to make Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibar HaShana al Pihariya. The Luach began during the lifetime of Abai V'Rava. The Luach that we have, that's Kavua, everything is all set. That was during the lifetime of Abai V'Rava. That was a few centuries after the Churban Bayis Sheni. So after the Churban Bayis Hamikdash, there was no Bez Nagoro. The Gemara said Bez Nagoro has to meet in Lishkas Hagazas. Once the Bez Nagoro, the Gemara says 40 years before the Churban Abayis. Bayis Sheni was Churban in the year 70. So in the year 30, 40 years before the Churban Abayis, the Bez Nagoro went into this self-imposed exile. They went into Golus, the Gemara says. My nafkamina. The Gemara says they can't be dandin in the Nefashis anywhere in the world, because you can only be dandin in the Nefashis. You have a Sanhedrin Tana, that's part of the whole system, and you have to have a Sanhedrin Dola at the top of, you have to have a Supreme Court. Sanhedrin Dola ceased to exist 40 years before the Churban Abayis in the year 30. So the Ramban asks on the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvah, how can he say that Kiddush HaChodesh in Ibar HaShana has to be done by the Bez Nagadol? There was no Bez Nagadol till the days of Abai V'Rava. For so many years there wasn't. So that's a taina. Okay, Rav Soloveitchik gave a whole pshat on that. He explained what the Noisei Kelim and the Sefer HaMitzvah explained. Where did the Rambam get this idea that you need Bez Nagadol? So basically it's based on the Mishnah. The Mishnah says the Edom always have to go to give testimony that they saw the Levana. Edom have to go to the Mokum Avad, to the Mokum where the Nasi is, where the chief rabbi is, with the Bez Nagoro. So it's a simple Mishnah. Mashmos of the Mishnahs. Where did the Mishnahs get it from? So the Rambam writes in the Mishnah Torah, it's the responsibility of the Bez Nagoro, because it says in today's Sedra, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Moshe and Aharon, and he says, HaKadosh Azalachem Rosh Chodoshim. So he says, Moshe Rabbeinu had the status, Moshe Rabbeinu had the din of Bez Nagoro. Moshe Rabbeinu b'mokam ayin aleph koi. Moshe Rabbeinu had the din of the Bez Nagoro. So this is fascinating. Moshe Rabbeinu had the din of Bez Nagoro before Maimon HaSinai. This is in Mitzrayim, before Yetzias Mitzrayim, before Matan Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu already had the din of Bez Nagoro at that time. So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik raised the question. The Gemara says you need a Bezna of 3 for Kiddush HaChodesh. The Rambam says you don't need the whole Bezna Gadol, all the 71. The Bezna Gadol has to authorize a Bezna of 3, either 3 members of the Bezna Gadol, or 3 other people have smicha. They don't have to be members of the Bezna Gadol, have to be authorized by the Bezna Gadol to take care of the matter, either the matter of Kiddush HaChodesh, to determine when Rosh Chodesh should be, or Ibar HaShana, one or the other. So the Gemara says, how do you know you need a Bezna of 3? Because it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vayamar Shamal Moshe Be'al Aharon. Moshe and Aharon are two. Then Bezen Shokul. You can't have an even number of Bezen. So that's how you know that you need three. So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik raised the question, if Moshe Rabbeinu B'makom Ayin Aleph Koi, so what do you need Aharon and the other one for? You have already Ayin Aleph. It's as if you have a whole Bezen Ago. So he said, you see from the Parsha, Achidish, that Moshe Rabbeinu B'makom Ayin Aleph Koi, Moshe Rabbeinu had the din of Bezen Ago before Matan Torah. If you have a Bezen of three, you can't have a Bezen less than three. If you have a Bezen of three, and one of them is Moshe Rabbeinu, then that Bezen of three has the status of a Bezen of three. If you only have one person, only Moshe Rabbeinu, he wouldn't have the din of Ayin Aleph. Wow, that's a big Chiddush. The Pashta says we don't learn like that. In Parshas Yisro, it says that Yisro comes to Moshe Rabbeinu and he sees the people are standing all day and all night. The people are waiting online. He says, you're going to collapse. You're working all day long, and the people are going to collapse. How can they stand online all day long? So he recommends he should establish different bati dinim, so he won't have to pass on all the shinas. So Yisro recommends, and then the Rabbanu Shalom approves the plan. All the other dine Torah, the others can judge, but a davar gadol, if you have to be done the melech, you have to be done the kohen gadol, you have to be done a nasi or something, a davar gadol, dvar shal gadol, you need Moshe Rabbeinu should judge. What do you mean Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu has the status of Ayin Aleph. So Moshe Soloveitchik says, not Moshe Rabbeinu alone, Moshe with two other smuchim, then Moshe Rabbeinu has the din of a bez nagol. Moshe Rabbeinu alone will not have the din of a bez nagol. That's a chiddush what he said. Moshe Rabbeinu b'mokam ayin aleph koi means if he'll be one of the three of a bezdin, but if you don't even have a bezdin of three, then you can't apply Moshe Rabbeinu b'mokam ayin aleph koi. That is quite a chiddush. Rav Soloveitchik always said over things from his father, things that his father said from Rav Chaim, and things that his father said on his own. Yeah. Years ago, Rav Soloveitchik printed a Dvar Torah in the name in Hapardes, about Kiddush HaChodesh, in the name of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. So I remember Shmuel Soloveitchik told us when he visited his uncle, Rav Elvila Soloveitchik in Eretz Yisrael, so Shomon had showed him the Dvar Torah that was printed in the name Rav Chaim. So he said, why did Rabbi Yoshe Ber print it in the name Rav Chaim? Well, because Rav Yodu was his father's, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. It wasn't Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik wanted to give it more chashivah, so he made it as if it's from Rav Chaim. But he said, Rav Elvila was upset. It's not true. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik said that. He said over his own Torah, and he said over things from their father. Anyway, today is his yahrzeit, Gimel Shvat.
Let's say you want to be done with the melech, so you need Ayin Aleph, Moshe Rabbeinu B'makom Ayin Aleph, but not the unit itself. You need Moshe with two smuchim, a bezdin, and then Moshe Rabbeinu. So it's considered as if it's not, but Moshe Rabbeinu alone, he says, wouldn't be good. That's it.